Welcome to part three of our series, Vessels of Honor. And I'd like to pause right here and welcome those who are with us online from various places around the country and even sometimes around the world. We're so honored to have you with us. Can everybody give up some heartfelt love? Yes, welcome. You are part of our church as well. We're so glad you're here today. With that, let me just remind everyone that as we jump into this series today, that there are message notes available in your worship guide. And for those watching online, those notes are also available online at our website. Just go to today's message and those you'll find those notes right there. You can follow along with us. Thankful for the things that we have planned this year in 2019. A lot of things we're looking at and as God is leading us and, in fact, speaking to us even during this 21 days of prayer and fasting. I actually have on a docket today a meeting with some of our leadership as we discuss the four things that we do as a church. And if you're new here today, I'll just spell those out very quickly. That's it. Those four things are: we want people to know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and then make a difference. And so we believe that those four things are found in the Great Commission. They're found throughout Scripture from Old Testament to New Testament. So everything we do is around those four things. And I believe that's really what God has called us as a church to do. And so really excited about where God is leading us this year. And I just want to encourage you. As we're on this this journey through our 21 days of prayer, this is the final week of our 21 days coming up. Next week is going to be an incredible week. We're going to conclude that 21 days of prayer on Saturday. And then Sunday, I've got a message that you just do not want to miss. It's going to be a little different next week. I'm just letting you know right now. It's going to be a little different. I believe God's directed me to something that He wants me to share with you. About us being the vessels of God that God has called us to be, and there's this thought as we're in this series, and that is that again God has something for us to do significantly in 2019. I'm praying that this year will be like no other year. God has something specifically for us to do individually and corporately as a church. In order for God to be able to use us and to fulfill His purpose in our life, however. The Bible instructs us that He is looking for vessels of honor. In fact, I was praying this morning and the scripture came to my mind that the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth seeking whom He may show Himself strong on their behalf. In other words, God's looking for somebody that He can use. He's looking for a vessel through which He can use and He can work through to touch and change the lives of others, and specifically that He can use to reach His lost kids. Amen? That's really what this thing's all about, connecting people to God. But God calls us to present ourselves to Him to be vessels of honor. Now, we know that we can't clean ourselves up. That's what Jesus does. That's called salvation. That's really what Sunday morning is all about. Our hope is that during this worship experience that you'll have a moment where you encounter the presence of God so amazingly so that you'll realize that He is, first of all, real. He is alive. And He's not just a God far removed, but He's a God that's present, involved, and is very interested in you and reaching you and having a personal relationship with you. So we understand that Jesus came and He died on the cross for to pay our sin debt for us so that we could have that relationship with Him. But we know that cleansing comes from Him and Him alone. But there's also a part that we are to play as well. Because Jesus, if you remember the story, he called Lazarus forth out of the grave. And only Jesus can do that. But then He instructed others to take the grave clothes off, and that's a process. And so there's a cleansing for us to do as well. There's steps for us to take. That's why we've put in place small groups, because small groups and being in relationship with other people helps us in that process of getting free from some things, getting some things that were in our old life out of our new life, where God can begin to come in a greater measure and use us to a greater extent for His glory. Anybody follow me on that? So this series is really based upon that premise of where we present ourselves to God, and we're taking some steps to get closer to God to become what the Bible describes as vessels of honor. So I want to take us to Scripture. If you've got your message notes, you can follow along with some blanks to fill in, and I'll have it up here on the screen for you. But let's take this Scripture that's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, that says, "In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay." So there's some fine china and there's some paper plates, as I've described it. There are some people you'll look at that will be examples of how to live your life, and there's other people you can look at that will give you an example of how not to live your life. And so, but God's looking for some that will be for honor. It says some for honor and some for dishonor. I don't know about you, I want to be a vessel of honor, because here's what God tells us is going to happen. Verse 21 says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself," so that means there are steps for us to take. There's things, there's decisions for us to make in this process. "Cleanse himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor." So you don't have to be a vessel of dishonor. Listen, there's a choice in how you live your life. You have a say-so in how your life, if it's going to be a vessel of dishonor or a vessel of honor. It's not just up in the wind, well, you know, who knows how my life's going to turn out, whatever, you know, que sera, sera. No, there's a choice in the matter that we have. And so it says, if you cleanse yourself from the latter, he'll be a vessel for honor. And look at this, sanctified, that simply means set apart. So you're special, you're fine china, right? You're vessels of honor, you're set apart. You don't sound like the world. You don't talk like everybody around you does. You don't go to the places everybody else goes to, right? We're set apart. There's something different about us. We have some distinguishing qualities about us. Something is different about us, not because of us, but because of the Master's hand upon us. And look at this, sanctified and useful. Now we're useful for the Master. So he look upon us and says, I don't need a paper plate here. I need a fine piece of china. I need a vessel of honor that I can use to reach somebody. Think about it. If you're in the workplace or in your classroom, in school, or wherever your setting is, maybe even in your home, and God looks down and he sees another person that he's wanting to use, a neighbor, a friend, a colleague, a coworker, and he's wanting to reach that person, but he's looking for some vessel of honor in that same place in relationship that has influence with that person, that he can reach down and pick that person up and use that person as a vessel in his hand. And I believe that's what God wants to do with Crosspoint in 2019. Oh God, help us as a church to be a church of honor, a vessel that God can take and use as an instrument to reach students across the street at UNC Charlotte, to reach our neighbors in this neighborhood and in areas of influence where he has placed you and I. And so he says you'll be prepared then for every good work. So there's nothing that God can't do through you if you allow him to do a work in you. Amen? Now, that's telling us what he wants to do for us, but then he goes on in the next verse and tells us how this is to happen and gives us some steps. Look at the next verse, verse 22, it says, "Flee also youthful lust." So that means there's some things that we need to let go of. There's some growing up we need to do. We need to not be meandering around in youthful selfishness and immaturity, but he wants to mature us from that youthful position of selfishness when we just live only for ourselves. Look at this, he says, "But pursue," there's some things for us to pursue. And that's what this series is based on, these four things. It's a four-part series. That is, number one, righteousness, faith. Second, faith. And third, love. Fourth, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, we looked at pursuing righteousness in week one. And we talked about, it was a very foundational message, and how that it's all about honor, that God wants us to be vessels of honor so that we don't have a culture of selfishness and dishonor, but we're going to add value to others. And we defined what honor means, that it means to add value or to give worth. And the picture of that is a boulder in the middle of a road. It's a big, heavy thing that you got to respect and you got to honor that and give it some respect. Dishonor is the opposite, and that is to take lightly or to treat ordinary or common. And so with that, we're saying we want to live a life of honor that involves leaving some things. And we concluded with this, that the goal of pursuing righteousness is the goal of pursuing God. where we say, God, have your way. I'm pursuing your way and not my way. My way doesn't work and your way works. So I'm going to forsake some things. I'm going to forsake being immature. And I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to pursue God's way. And the action step with that, there was an action step with that. And the action step is prayer. If we're seeking God, obviously we need to be communicating with God. When I wanted to pursue my wife, I picked up the phone. I called her up and I said, hey, this is Theron Hobbs. Hey, how you doing? What you doing for the rest of your life? You know. But anyway, I had a conversation. Well, if we're going to pursue God, we need to have a conversation. And so that means prayer. And that's why we're doing this 21 days of prayer in hopes that it'll change our life. And we'll always have this communication where we're talking to God first. Right? So we're pursuing God. We're pursuing righteousness. Last week, we talked about pursuing faith. Pursuing faith. And so that means, well, we say faith. Faith in what? Just pursuing a faith. Faith, you can have a faith in a lot of things. And we established that it's important that our faith rest in God's Word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we established that we want to pursue, when we talk about pursuing God, it also means pursuing God's Word. If we're pursuing Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh, dwelt among us, right? We talked about that last week. So to pursue Jesus means that we are to pursue His Word. To follow Jesus means to follow His Word. Someone once said, well, I just think you should follow your heart. Have you ever heard that? Doesn't that sound good? I just think, you know, just follow your heart. You know, just follow your heart. You know, just follow your heart. You know, whatever your heart tells you to do, follow your heart. No! The Bible says the heart is deceitful among all things. Who can know it? So you don't follow your heart. You don't follow your emotions. You don't follow your feelings. Feelings will deceive you every time. We're going to follow God's Word. And even when it doesn't feel right, we don't understand it, we're going to follow God's Word. And His way will lead to life, because our way, which seems to be right at times, will lead to death and destruction. Amen, everybody? So we're going to follow. So the action step with that is to follow God's Word, to read and to listen. That means get in church. Put yourself in a position to hear God's Word and let the Word of God read you. So I want to call us back to a place of honor as a church and as culture. This week, we're talking about pursuing love. Pursuing love. And today is going to be very practical and very intentional as we talk about pursuing love. Let me give you this scripture that's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 that says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. So be devoted to one another in brotherly love. So I want to talk about this thing of being intentional in our honor. Intentional in our honor. So that means, to be intentional means that we are preset on honor. So there's an action step that goes with this as well. And that action step, I want you to write this down somewhere as an action step, and that's the word go. The first part of the gospel is the word go. Jesus in the Great Commission said go into the world. So it's not we're waiting for the world to come to us and then we're going to react to whatever the world does or says or the way the world acts, but rather we have a mission to go into the world with some good news. We have an opportunity to go into the world and make a difference. And so when we talk about pursuing love, that means that we are intentionally going to go after and we're going to love people. And that means loving people means also loving even the unlovable. By the way, that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. His love was demonstrated to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? So love is Jesus being nailed to the cross. And as they're nailing him to the cross, he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was preset because he had already determined. He settled it in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And so he set himself to go to the cross for you and I because of his great love for you and I. He was preset on love. So that means go first, love first, honor first, go after God. And going after God means going after love, right? And going after love means going after and loving people, and that even includes the unlovable. Let me show it to you in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. show proper respect. And I just want to pause right there. Proper respect. That's something that we are lacking in our culture today, is proper respect. And we're gonna get into this a little bit, because you say, well, some people aren't respectable, so I'm not going to respect them. I can't respect them. The Bible, look at this, says, show proper respect to, I just got to read it. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it, okay? I'm following the word. Show proper respect to everyone. 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 And then it says, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king. Now, I just want to pause right here and say, anytime you get into behavioral messages, it's important that we have the right internal motivation. Anytime you talk about life lessons and you just go through a thing of things that we should do, if you're not careful and it's just things we're doing and it's behavioral, it leads to dead religion, which will beat you up and kill you, okay? But what I'm talking about is not something that happens out of obligation, not just doing it, but becoming it. So we are vessels of honor, not based on how the rest of the world acts. This is who we are from the inside out. So the goal is that we fall in love with this concept, and there is a delight in being a vessel of honor, regardless of what is going on around us. And there's six areas I need to give you that talks about honor according to Scripture, and we're going to start broad and we're going to narrow it down as we go. Write this down. Number one, it's important when we talk about honoring and about loving others, so you could sort of say honor / love, but it's the same, kind of the same thing there, right? Honor others means this. Number one is honor others. Honor others. So honor others. So that means before myself, I'm going to honor others. I'm going to put others first. I believe that we need to think about this. I believe we live in a culture of dishonor in many ways that we don't even realize, where we're callous when we think about others, not about ourselves. We're thinking about others. And I don't want to be controversial here, but when we talk about the lives of others, I think that also includes lives of the unborn. Instead of just thinking about my own needs, did you realize there are millions of lives that are lost because people are thinking about themselves instead of about others? We need to be thinking about others. We live in a society of great violence. We live in a society of all these things that are happening in tumultuous times. And I'm reminded of this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that talks about the last days. And it says that in the last days there will be perilous times. Or the word there is also terrible or fierce. If you look at the definition in the Greek of that, what that is referring to is demonic. Demonic days. And it mentions this list of things of how things will be in the last days. And the first thing on the list is this, and that's lovers of themselves. So when we talk about pursuing love, you know, it's not just for ourselves. You know, what's that song? I was always on my mind. I was always on my mind. I mean, we're always on our mind, right? What I need, what's for me, selfish, you know, thinking about ourselves. But first of all, honor starts with respecting and honoring others. Love, it says they were lovers of themselves. We just need to be careful with this. And I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about sometimes that permeates even within the church. The church sometimes can be cruel too. You know, what's in it for me? I want my agenda. I want my way. I want what I want. I want my song. I want you to preach my way. I want my style. I want, come on, right? I want my seat. You know, some of y'all sit in the same seats every Sunday, right? I want my parking space. I want my coffee just right. I-itis. That's where Satan fell, right? He said, I'll ascend to the highest. I'll. And then it come, you know, that's what it is. But honoring means to honor others, honor others. Let me give you a scripture. It's found in Philippians chapter 2. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. That's a good word, isn't it? Honor others better than yourself. Well, but I'm the boss. I'm the dad. What I say goes. Well, you need to be a dad and you need to be a boss by being a servant. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, let me just give it to you in a different version here that says, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. So we need to be preferring one another. Preferring one another. Not my way or the highway, but rather preferring one another. You first. You first. At home or at work, thinking about other people. I actually heard of a study that was taken in Ontario, Canada, where it said that when you talk about children having household chores, parents are going to help you out here, students having household chores, kids involved in having chores, daily chores, are more compassionate and there's less fighting that goes on. But there was a direct correlation in the types of chores. Those that were self-serving chores, like just clean your own room, had no effect. But chores that involved others, taking out the trash, feeding the dog, never the cat. Just serious. But anyway, y'all love me. At mowing the grass, whatever that looks like, you know, chores involving others, it was off the chart the effect of how they treated other people in the home when they regularly did that. When you have a lifestyle, when it becomes who you are, to care about others instead of yourself, I'm telling you, it's life-giving. It's life-giving. And your life is more fulfilling when you live that kind of life. I'm talking about building a culture, an attitude about others. Second area is this, honor authority. Authority. God has an order to things. There's an order. The Lord demonstrated in His prayer, our Father who art in heaven, He demonstrated us to recognize the authority there. Not my will, but your will be done. In Ephesians, it talks about authority. And Jesus talked about having the spiritual authority. It is a covering. And God works through authority. If you're not under somebody's authority, you don't have a covering there. Right? There's no protection there, but God puts those things in there for our protection. Romans chapter 13 says this, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Wait a minute. Is that true? Well, it is the Bible, right? Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Well, it depends on which party's in office. Some of us are thinking, right? Come on. The authorities that exist have been established by God, according to Scripture, right? So we need to respect the authority. And there's several areas of authority, and our attitude towards them is so important. I'm going to give you a few of those, all right? Number one, government is an area of authority. Government. And see, I don't respect the government. I'm not saying you have to agree with everything, okay? But there needs to be, from our position, it's not whether somebody is doing the right thing or not. It's that we have decided we're going to honor. That's who we are. In other words, we're going to love the unlovable. Okay? So we're going to live with respect. We're going to honor. Even when we disagree, we can be civil with our disagreements. Can I get an amen right there? It's so true. And by the way, I borrowed this from about 5 or so years ago, and I preached the same thing when Obama was president that I'm preaching while Trump is president. Okay? So don't be, you know, I said pray for President Obama, and I'm saying pray for President Trump. This is not about who they are, it's about who we are. Come on, we're the church. Amen? And so, right? Boy, that's weak. Y'all could have done better than that. Okay, I'm just saying. So look at what it goes on to say. Let me go back to that verse. It says, the authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against God, what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. See, ultimately, God is orchestrating everything, and God has a master plan, and he knows what he's doing. But he expects us to stay and remain the vessels of honor that he can use to make a difference in these places instead of being vessels of dishonor, right? Right? God's looking for somebody that he can use and make a difference. Another area is this, and that's the workplace or school. We need to be honoring in those places. By the way, I'm preaching to myself as well as I'm preaching to you today. Just letting you know. Amen. Amen. I'm getting some amens out there. So that means that we're not sitting at the computer playing solitaire, and then when the boss walks up, we change the screen real quick. Hey, boss, how you doing? Come on. We're being honest. We're living, we're given an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, right? I know this is old-fashioned preaching, but it's actually Christian preaching is what it really is. Colossians 3 talks about working with all of our heart as unto the Lord. What we're doing is as unto the Lord. The Lord's looking for a vessel in that workplace. The Lord's looking for a vessel in the school, right? He's looking for a vessel at the university across the street, right? He's looking for a vessel that he can use in these places. Number three is family. Family. So that means that we need to honor our parents. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. We're going to honor each other, even siblings. We need to give honor. Honor to our family, our husbands, our wives, right? We need to give honor. And too many times it seems that the home is many times the least place of honor. We use all of our honor up at work or school, and by the time we get home, nothing's left. I mean, we're nice to all the customers at the workplace, but we didn't spend all of our niceties at work. And when we get home, we're tired. And you should just know. And so we treat each other lightly instead of honoring one another. We don't give the right value to one another, right? In the home, it's a place oftentimes of dishonor. It needs to be a place of honor. Some of the most dishonoring places is in relationship within families. And then when they die, that family member dies, then we say, oh, they were such a great person. Or I wish I would have told them I love them more. You know, after it's too late, we give them flowers after it's gone. Can I give you a great idea? And that's give them some flowers while they're living. Put some badges of honor while they're here. You could do this today. Go home today and tell somebody or call somebody and say, I love you. I just want you to know I love you. Right? Honor. And you know, don't fall out over little petty things. Value each other. Honor each other. Esteem one another. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Honor one another. Number four is spiritual. Honor those who work hard among you in the Lord for your sakes, the Bible tells us. I'm not going to give you a bunch of scripture on this because it could be talking about the pastor here. That would seem self-serving, wouldn't it? But it says, honor the work of those that work hard among you in the Lord for your sakes. And in fact, one place it says that we're to give double honor for those who spend time in the Word preparing messages. I'm just saying. What I'm talking about is we need to have a change in our culture. And it's not that I need that. It's that you need that. We need to change our attitude all about this thing of culture. So for me, I pray. I pray for my district pastor. I have a district pastor. I have a pastor on a state level as well. I pray for him. I got one on a national level. I pray for him. I pray for those that are over me in the Lord. I pray for them. I honor them. I pray that God would grant them wisdom and favor and blessings on their life and protection over their life. And that's what, so we all need to do that. Pray for those, right, that are in spiritual authority. Give honor to those things. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says this, says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Goes on to say, this is good and pleases God, our Savior. Anybody want to please God? who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. I mean, if you don't know anything else to pray, pray. If you got somebody that's evil and you're disagreeing with them, pray for their soul, right? Pray God would save them and redeem them and open their eyes and change their ways. Pray for them. Don't condemn them. Come on, Jesus came never to condemn, but to lift them up, right? He came to save that which was lost. He came to pour out his life, right, as an offering for the unlovable. So pray for those that are in authority because God wants them to come to the truth. So pray for them. So I'm going to pray for the president. I'm going to pray for the vice president. I'm going to pray for the congressional leaders. I'm going to pray for my governor. I'm going to pray for our mayor. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for my boss. I'm going to pray for the pastor, right? I'm going to pray for the leaders. I'm going to pray for my small group leaders, those that are doing a phenomenal job in opening up your home, you know, and vacuuming the carpet and putting out some ranch dip so that lives can be changed. I'm praying for you guys, right? We're going to pray for one another. We're going to honor one another. We're going to lift each other up. We're not going to say words to bring people down and discourage people. We're going to build each other up. I'm going to say, I believe in you. I'm going to say, you're the man and you're the woman and you can do it. And I'm here to lift you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to serve you and support you. I'm not here to tear you down, right? Right? We need a bull market, not a bear market. Anybody in stocks? Okay, all right. I'm just saying we need to build up, not tear down, right? Know where that came from. Let me give you a third area, and that's honor our parents. Honor our parents. And I pulled that one out separate from family because I want to give this special emphasis. I mean, think about it in the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, it talks about honoring your father and your mother, and it says there's a reward attached to that. It's the only one that's got a reward attached to that. But then you say, well, that's the Old Testament. So that's, you don't know my parents. Well, actually, the New Testament covers it because Ephesians chapter 6 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first in commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Anybody want to live a long time? Honor your mother and your father. And that doesn't mean that you have to agree with them on everything. I know that there's different ones have different situations with your parents, but we still honor them. And you come out from under them. It doesn't mean, you know, when you're out on your own, you're married, you got your own family. It doesn't mean you have to obey them on every point, but you still can honor and respect them, right? So we're going to bless them. We're going to pray for them. We're gonna care for them. We're gonna give honor to them. Honor them. Honor them. Honor your parents. And by the way, husbands and wives, you need your kids need to know that your love for one another. I'm gonna get in trouble here. I know I am, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Comes first. Your kids are secondary. Not me. My kids come before that guy. Listen, the greatest thing you can do and the greatest way you can love your kids is loving your spouse. You're talking about giving some kids some security is when you love one another. Amen? Am I preaching good this morning or what? I'm just saying. Because here's the deal. You need to be able to say to your kids, look, you know, if your child disrespects their mother, the father needs to step in and say, look, she was here first and she'll be here last. Think about it. You're going to have to, after they're gone, she's still going to be there. And by the way, you need to honor the one that put your feet on this planet. Right? They're the ones that brought you in this world. I was there when both of my kids were born. Listen, if my kids knew what their mother went through, come on, to bring them into this world. Mom brought them in, but Dad can take them out. I'm just kidding, but just a little humor, But honor your parents. Number four, honor age. Just some practicals this morning, guys. Honor age. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 says, rise in the presence of the aged. So when the elderly walks in, man, room 10 hut, it's not, well, that's an old person. It don't mean anything. Come to attention. Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly. And revere your God. I am the Lord. God said that. So we don't just put them away. They don't know what they're talking about. No. That's not just a southern thing. That's not a southern thing. That's Leviticus thing. Right? So we're going to honor the age. Elderly gets walks into a room or gets on a bus or light rail, and you're sitting in your seat, and you're a young person, you get up and say, would you like to sit here? Come on. You're going to honor them. Not just put them away like they don't mean anything. Well, you know, and the way it should be around here is the elderly should be mentoring the younger. It should be that we should have some older people say, I want to help young people. Now, don't just think that you got to be their age to relate. There's some things that we need to pour into the next generation. There's a generation today that's very lost and confused, and I wonder if any of them had any parents to raise them. I'm honest. I mean, you know, I'm looking at some of their values. Listen, we as Christians, as vessels of honor, wherever God has placed us, need to be the one that mentors those under us and makes a difference in their life. Come on, teach them how to balance a checkbook. What's a checkbook? I don't know. You know, I mean, and the younger needs to be able to receive that. Come on. Right? And younger people need to be able to respect. You say, well, they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't even know how to use an iPhone. Yeah, but that's all you know how to use is an iPhone. I'm just saying. So respect and honor age. Job chapter 12, verse 12 says, is not wisdom found among the aged? There's a vast resource of wisdom there, guys. Does not long life bring understanding? So honor the age. Number five, honor nature. And this one may surprise you that this is in here, but I think it's something that we should honor. I think the Bible alludes to that. We need to honor things that God created. It's His masterpiece. The earth is His canvas. We're not going to go around and litter and destroy the earth. God put us on this earth to till the earth, to take care of the earth. We need to be responsible with the earth, right? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. So we're going to subdue it. That means that we're going to respect it. We're going to rule over. We're going to rule it. We're going to manage it, right? Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. You know, we're not going out to kill things just to kill things and destroy things. If you need to kill something, eat it. You know, come on, take it home and put it on your table. I have no problems with shooting something, but come on, don't just shoot it. Don't just shoot a bird. Let the bird chirp for somebody else to enjoy, right? Right? But can I just also say in the same breath that don't go to the other extreme where we're worshiping nature. Come on. I think nature is incredible. I think all of creation is screaming, there's a God. It's pointing us to the fact that there's a creator of the creation. We get in trouble, though, when we start embracing the creation and worshiping it. It's not God. It's the creation, not the creator, right? But we're going to respect it because it belongs to God, right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, so we're going to give honor to that thing. But most importantly, that takes us to the sixth thing, and that's to honor God. The goal of all this is to honor God. Psalm 29 and verse 2 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Ascribe to the Lord glory. That glory in Hebrew means kabod, is the word kabod, which means weight. It's significant. The weightiness of God's presence, right? We're going to ascribe to the Lord glory due His name. Psalm 34 and 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. We're going to magnify His name. We're going to honor Him. When you look throughout Scripture, this idea of honoring God, there's two areas that I see in throughout all the studies of talking about honoring God. And that is, number one, we're going to honor God with our body. So how we live in this life, how you treat this vessel, right? Honors God. And secondly, with our possessions. We're generous. We recognize that everything comes from God. And God, we're just going to return some of that back to you. So the next scripture, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit, with the first fruits of all your crops. And that's a way that we honor the Lord. We honor the Lord. We honor God. But the invitation is this, that many of us need to start with this last point, and that is that we need to honor God and we need to give Him the place of honor in our life. And that really means top priority. That means He's at the top of the list. And some of you may have Him on the list, but newsflash, if He's not at the top of the list, He's not on your list at all, because God will only take top place because that's His place. Because when He's in His place, it makes everything else work. It makes everything else make sense in your life. So maybe for some of us, we need to honor Him and give Him the first place of our life. I've got one more scripture I want to give you. I know some of you, you get that last one filled in, you're packing up, ready to go. But let me give you one other scripture that I want you just to write this reference down. In fact, it's so short you could write the whole verse down. It's found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, "We love because He first loved us." So again, some of you may be struggling with this, that I can't honor this person or that person, or I can't bring my, you don't understand my situation. Get this. Jesus loved us first when we were living unhonorable lives. He honored us to such a degree that He went all the way to the cross and died for us that we could have life. In fact, again, the Bible said He demonstrated His love for us in that we were, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, gave Himself for us, that we could have life. In fact, the Bible even says that not even knowing whether we were going to accept Him or not, He went in faith that we would. Isn't that something? He didn't say, wait, are you gonna believe in me before you nail my hands to the cross? Are you going to believe in me? No, He said, just go ahead. Nail my hands to the cross. I'm believing that they will. Faith that we would accept this gift that He gave us of life. And if He laid down His life for us, we would accept Him. Accept that free gift of life. That's awesome. He honored us. God the Father honored us by giving us the most precious gift in the world, His only Son, to come and to be tortured, to be crucified, to pay a debt for us. We were unworthy, unlovable, unhonorable. We were dishonorable, is the word, right? And yet, God came and He honored us by laying down His life for us. Can we not do that for others as well? The greatest way that we can honor God, though, is to accept His gift and say, God, I want You in my life. I'm going to honor You today by putting You the first place in my life. I'm going to honor You today by making sure everything I do brings honor to You in my relationships at work and home and wherever I am. And all these six areas that we talked about, God, I'm going to make sure that I'm honoring You, Lord. I'm honoring You. I'm putting You first. It's not about them. It's about His love for you, what He's done in you. And now you're going to share that with others. You're going to be a vessel of honor, meet for the Master's use, prepared for every good work to make a difference in the lives of others. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank You, Lord, for Your word today. Thank You for giving Your life for us that we could have life. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today, and you know that you need to put Him at the first place in your life. You need to put Him on the top of the list. Maybe it was unintentional that this happened, but somehow or other, He's not where He needs to be in your life. And today, you know, today's the day. You need to make a decision. God, I'm going to put You to first place in my life today. You say, I'm ready. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right where you're sitting, not where I have your front, come to the front or stand up. I just want to pray with you right where you are. But if that's you, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to know who I'm connecting with. Would you just slip up a hand and say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Yes. Good job. Yes. Good job. See that hand? Amen. God bless you. Yes. Thank you. Good job. Thank you, Lord, for speaking today. You're watching online. Join us in this prayer. Right where you are. Come on, would you just, right now, from your heart, let me just help you with the words, but just mean it. Just mean it. Just pray a sincere prayer. Let me lead you in this right now. Everybody praying out loud for those that need to pray it. Can we just pray something like this? Say, God, today, I give you my life. I turn from my way to your way. Thank you for paying my debt on the cross that I could experience life. I invite you to come on the inside and make me brand new. Forgive me of all my mistakes and all my sins. I turn to you now, and I place you on the throne of my heart. Be the Lord of all. In every area, I surrender all. Come on, say this again. Today I give you my life. And with all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer. Thank you, God, for changed lives. Thank you for being the Lord of all. God, thank you that, Lord, now as you're in first place, God, I thank you that you give your enabling power to fulfill this thing and to live this thing out day by day. So I pray your Spirit guide. Your Spirit, God, encourage. Your Spirit, Lord, direct every step, God. God, I pray as a church, thank you for allowing us to be a vessel of honor for the Master's use. Search us now, Lord. Try us. See if there's be anything in us, God, that would distract your plan, your will, God, and lead us to be vessels of honor, to make a difference, to make an impact for eternity's sake, God. For everything accomplished, God, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said amen. Come on, help me congratulate those that made the best decisions of their life. Thank you, Lord. So awesome.